guys out there in the third dimension with your smart devices, you can really exercise your thumbs on this show. Good morning from Australia. I'm Gary. This is my wife, Gloria.
Hi, everybody.
And we're Grace Faith Christian Discipleship. And our guest minister this morning is Cherry Tull from North Carolina. Hello, Terry. All right, over to Gloria to open with prayer and lead us through communion.
Okay, and just to give you a little bit of a heads up, if you notice that I might be looking down or looking around, we've got a new little puppy at our feet, and I'm just trying to keep an eye on him so I don't accidentally roll over his little paws with my...
And he's been named after Uncle Rick.
Uncle Ricky, hi, if you're watching, we know you're busy with all your paperwork, but we look forward to seeing you again sometime. So, Father God, we thank you and we are so grateful and joyous in this day that you have made. And Lord, we just thank you for your presence here. We thank you for this Bible study. We thank you for all the wonderful ministers that give their time to come and share their understanding of the word through the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we know that your word is anointed. It goes out into the world. And the Holy Spirit draws those people who are hungry to hear the truth. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, we open this Bible study. Amen. So we like to start with a communion, little short communion message. So if you haven't got your elements, jump up and get yourself something that you can use to represent the body and the blood of Jesus. And we usually do that with a piece of bread or cracker and some juice or wine. So please do that and come and join us if you're a believer. And this is a day of celebration. And I said it is the day that the Lord has made, and we will be glad and rejoice in it. And it is a day of celebration. In fact, in other parts of the world, they are celebrating Easter this weekend. So I think some of the Eastern Bloc countries, there might even be a few others around the world who celebrate Easter on this weekend. But God just put a real joy in my heart this morning to bring forward that message of celebration. And as we've just had a time of remembering the Lord through that period of what we call Easter, a lot of families come together if they can, and not everybody in a family sees things exactly the same or get on it that well with one another, but they come together because they're family and because they're related. And so the body of Christ comes together because we are also related through the blood of Jesus. We are brothers and sisters in Christ, and though we may believe things that are slightly different, when it comes to the communion message or when it comes to that time of remembrance of Jesus, we're all in agreement about his death, his burial, and his resurrection, because that is such an important thing. Without the resurrection, we don't have Christianity. We just have another dead religion. But Jesus has risen. He is alive today. And that is the big difference that Christianity has. And so as I read from verse 23 of 1 Corinthians 11, it says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" And as we take the bread, we're remembering the price that Jesus paid in his body, the stripes he bore, the punishment that he took for our healing. And we thank you, Jesus, as we remember you. And in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." So Jesus, we remember you. We remember your precious blood that you shed for the sin of the world, that my sin nature was taken away, was nailed at the cross, and I stand righteous before the Father because of what you have done. I have right standing before Father God in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you that you are a living God. We praise the living Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for this day.
Thank you, Jesus. And thank you, Gloria, for that communion again. And welcome, Cherry, to this Bible study. We're coming to you from the east coast of Australia in a little city called Ipswich.
Mm-hmm.
And we're doing a Bible study in the book of Hebrews. And this morning we're going to start with Hebrews chapter 7, verse 20. So I will share screen there, and I might make my comments first this morning, Cherry, and then I'll go over to you. So I'm just choosing the right app here. Here we go. Yeah. Okay, so we're reading from verse 20, Gloria. Mm-hmm. Do we need to take it into context? And for those of you watching on from the third dimension, to get this into context, we do a Bible study that's timed to pick up Europe and particularly Great Britain,
mm-hmm.
UK and Africa.
Mm-hmm.
We do that 12 hours prior to this Bible study. So if you want to scroll back, if you're on our YouTube channel, you can go back and you want to bring things into context, have a look at the previous Bible study, and then it'll bring this one into context, because one rolls on after the other. So we're starting out in verse 20, and we're just going to read a couple of verses, Gloria, 20 down to 22, please.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So it does start with the word and. Did you want me to go back and read verse 19? Back? Just for 18.
Just 18?
From 18, yeah. For on the one hand, there is an annulling of the former commandment because of its weakness and unprofitableness. For the law made nothing perfect. On the other hand, there is the bringing of a better hope through which we draw near to God.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 20. And inasmuch as he was not made priest without an oath, for they have become priests without an oath, but he with an oath by him who said to him, the Lord has sworn and will not relent, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek.
Yeah, thanks, Gloria. Okay, I'm going to kind of do this backwards, because this
Verse 22 just finishes there.
Yeah, I understand that. But this is a quotation here. The Lord has sworn and will not relent. You are a priest forever,
mm-hmm.
talking about Jesus, according to the order of Melchizedek. Now, that is a quotation from Psalm 110, verse 4. That is a direct quotation, word for word. And I said I was going to talk about this backwards. Verse 22, it talks about by so much more, Jesus has become the surety. Because why is he a surety? Because this is God himself. The Lord has sworn. That is our surety. It talked earlier when we were doing previous Bible studies, it talked about the immutable promises, two immutable things. See, this is a surety. By so much more, Jesus has become a surety of a better covenant. A better covenant. Better than what? Better than the Old Testament covenant of the law of Moses. And if we scoot up to the previous verse, 18, that Gloria read, for on one hand there is an annulling, annul the former commandments. What commandments? The Ten Commandments, the law of Moses, the Old Testament law of Moses. Why was it annulled? Because of its weakness and unprofitableness. You see, the purpose of the law was to reveal to the children of Israel that they couldn't save themselves, that they needed a savior. The law itself showed them. See, the law actually strengthened sin. And this is not Garyology. This is what the Bible says. The Bible says that the strength of sin is the law. Shock, horror. Some people out there watching this video will go, is that right? Can you find where that is in the Bible, Gloria?
Mm-hmm.
The strength of sin is the law. Just do a search on that,
yeah.
And I'll keep on going. It's weakness and unprofitableness. For the law made nothing perfect. You see, the law makes nothing perfect because the law ministered to the flesh, whereas the covenant of grace, the New Testament covenant, which is filled with better promises, ministers to the spirit, and it ministers life through the resurrection life. The covenant of grace ministers to the spirit. The law of Moses was the law of sin and death. The law of grace, right? The covenant of grace ministers life through the new birth. Romans chapter 10, verse 9.
Do you want that verse?
Okay. Can you read that verse?
It's 1 Corinthians 15, 56. And it says, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law.
Okay. But the law achieved one thing. It showed the children of Israel. And why do I single out the children of Israel? Because the law was never, ever given to Gentiles. So the law was given to the children of Israel to reveal to them their shortfallings, that they couldn't earn their ticket to heaven, that they needed to put faith in Jesus, faith in the coming Messiah, because when the law was written, it contained all the prophecy of the coming Messiah, and who we're looking back from the New Testament. It's a lot easier to read the history in the New Testament about Jesus. Jesus said to the scribes and Pharisees, he said, you search the scriptures. Well, the only scripture that I had was the law, because in them you think that you find eternal life. But these are they that testify of me. If you can get your head around that, that's what Jesus said to the scribes and the Pharisees. I'm going to hand over to Cherry now, if I can just work out how to stop the screen share. Over to you, Cherry.
Well, this afternoon I was chewing on this scripture, and I started looking up a covenant, which we just Gary just touched on that so much. By so much more, Jesus has become a surety of a better covenant, which he is. He is the better covenant. But there were other covenants, briefly, you know, Abrahamic, Mosaic, Davidic. I don't say right. But anyway, the Davidic, is that how you say it? Davidic was where God's promises to man.
It's related to the Levites, Levitic, yeah.
Where God promises to man that there would be an offspring, an international blessing, a royal descendant of Abraham through David, and it's Jesus.
Mm.
And I also ran into a scripture that was, and I don't want to get off in left field, but we're talking about the covenant. And in Psalm 72, it said 72:17, his name shall be endure forever. See, we have a forever covenant. We talked about an endless power of an endless life.
Mm.
Okay, so when Jesus came, he was our new Savior, and his name shall be endure forever, and his name shall continue as long as the sun. And the men shall be blessed in him, and all nations shall call him blessed. Jesus is the new and living covenant, literally. Mm. And 1 John 4:9, in this and through Jesus, the love of God is manifested towards us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And the new covenant is when the Spirit of God, he comes to live within us. We don't have to go to the priest. We don't have to go to, used to be part of a prayer team, and people came up and you could tell by some of the things that they would say that they thought that I had some kind of connection, you know, with God different than they. They can pray. If we know Jesus, we have that connection with God. The Lord comes and lives in our heart. We have that covenant. I think that's what, I don't want to go and get into preaching, but the better covenant is that Jesus comes and lives within us. Mm, yes. He abides in us. Mm. He's not out there somewhere where we have to go to the priest and they have to go before him, God, and, you know, when the veil was rent from top to bottom, he did everything. We're going to go into next scripture, yeah, which I'm not going to go into, but he did everything. He did it all.
That's excellent.
That's the new covenant. He did it all.
Wow. Mm. Excellent. Thank you, Cherry.
Yes.
Yeah, we were just reading this morning. I don't know whether Gloria and I do a reading together each morning, but I wasn't sure whether it was there. But see, we have an advocate before the Father. There is one mediator between man and the Father, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. See, in the Old Testament, Moses was a mediator. But, you know, that's why I'm kind of a bit, can I use the word skeptical about intercessors in the age of grace? I'm like cautious. I'm not saying it's not right. I'm just cautious about it because, you know, the veil has been rent from top to bottom. We have access into the Holy of Holies. We have one mediator, Christ Jesus our Lord. Why do we need intercessors? You know, and I'm probably going to get a barrage of comments, and, you know, I might have a wrong handle on that, but let's just say I'm not against intercessors, but if you're a child of the living God, you don't need to run to the pastor. You need to be able to run to your Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? That's the point I'm trying to make. This is different. The Old Testament, the covenant of the Old Testament, it says, the Bible says that the law of Moses was an add-on. It was an add-on. The covenants that, see, there is one everlasting covenant, and it is continuous. And I believe that the covenants that, with the exception of the Levitical covenant, which is the law of Moses, that was the only one that was an add-on. You know, when you look at it, God made covenant with himself in the beginning. God made covenant with himself. He keeps referring to it as my covenant. And he brought it to Abraham. And yes, he cut covenant with Abraham, but it was already his covenant. It is an everlasting covenant. Then you've got the add-on of the law of Moses, which had a use-by date. We studied that out last night. The law was added because of transgressions until the seed should come. Of course, the seed was Jesus. But the law didn't finish when Jesus came. You know, it takes a bit of studying this out. It says in another place that the law was until John, Well, John and Jesus were born 6 months apart. But Jesus said during his ministry, not one dot of this law shall pass away. Not one dot nor one tittle shall pass away till all is fulfilled. Well, that law was not fulfilled until Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. At that point, he had fulfilled the law. Well, bang, did the law pass away in that moment of time? Well, I can only give you what the Word of God says. And the law, I do not see in Scripture a definitive time for the law passing away. I see that it says the law is passing away. I see that it says in just the verses that we were reading last night, I can't pinpoint the exact verse. Let me just scroll back through and just see if I can see where it says, surety of a better covenant. I know it's only just here. Verse 18. For on the one hand, there is an annulling of the former commandment. It's talking about the law of Moses. It's talking about an annulling of the law of Moses. But it doesn't say that it actually finished there and then. I put it to you that the law of Moses is of no effect today, and it certainly has no place to us who are, firstly, born Gentiles, because the law was only ever given to the children of Israel. And secondly, even the children of Israel who have converted to Christianity, they have to forsake the law. They have to step into a new and better covenant. Right? So this is like, this is a real head spin, especially for people who were raised up Jews and have converted to Christianity. And you've got to remember that this book of Hebrews is written to the Hebrews. Well, who are the Hebrews? I'm not a Hebrew, right? The Hebrews are the children of Israel, but these Hebrews are the ones that who have converted to Christianity. So that's why, you know, these, look, I haven't got a real good handle on Judaism. I have a fleeting knowledge of it, probably better than most. But still, compared with those who are raised up as Jews, they have an intimate knowledge. And that's who Hebrews is talking to. But he's bringing them from that to an understanding of how much more, how much greater is this priesthood of Jesus, who has been made a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek, because the priests of the old covenant. Yes, Cherry.
Well, I think what the backdrop that's going on here is that God is trying to show the point is trying to be come across as from the old covenant. It was a bunch of sacrifices and rules and regulations, and now, when Jesus came and it became a better covenant. And so we now live in the law of love.
Yes.
I mean, it says, and I don't know if I read the whole thing, but 1 John 4:16, now we know and believe the love that God has for us when he died on Christ for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God is in him, and the Holy Spirit lives in us.
Nice.
And then Romans 14:7, for none of us live to himself. See, we're not called to live to a bunch of rules and regulations like the Jewish Christians were used to. We're now being called to live in the law of love, and if we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. Verse 9 says, "Whether we live or die, we are the Lord's." So we're now living from a heart of love to the Lord. Well, it's a new understanding. You know, we don't have to just do, you know, like when my children were young, I took them to church. That was a little bit legalistic. I wanted them to know who God was. But I at a certain period of time, I told them, I said, now, you've seen God in my relationship with the Lord. Now you're gonna have to grow. And and Kelsey said one time, she said, but I love the Lord. I said, and I want you to continue to love the Lord. But I wanted them to see not a bunch of rules and regulations and always going to church and always being here every Wednesday night. I wanted them to see that my heart I would go there because I honored God, because I loved him. Mm. This is a new law of love. Mm. And we think out our life through what would honor God. Mm. And if we get conviction, if we're not walking, what's that word, that scripture about the faith? If we know to do and it's not faith, it's sin. Mm-hmm. As a scripture, we live, we know, I don't know, it'll come to me. We don't do something.
I'm getting a few scriptures. There's one that says, whatever is not of faith is sin.
Yes, that's it. Thank you.
Yeah, I can't give you the address of it. See if you can find it.
That's because the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us.
Romans 14:23.
Can you read it out, please, Gloria?
Oh, I just got to turn to it. Just a second.
Romans 14:23. See, the book of Romans, the book of Galatians, has the same subject matter, the two covenants. But the book of Romans and the book of Galatians was written to Gentile Christians. The Hebrews has the same theme, but it's written to Jewish Christians. Mm. All right?
I'll start from 22.
Okay. The whole Romans, what? 14, 22.
22 and 23. Do you have faith? Have it to yourself before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves, but he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith. For whatever is not from faith is sin.
Mm.
Is that the verse you were wanting, Cherry?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's right. So we live from our heart.
Yeah.
We live from our convictions, and he puts them there.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Again, very good, Cherry. Where were we now?
We did verse 22, so we're up to verse 23.
Okay, let's read 23 to 25. Mm-hmm. How are we going for time? Yeah, we're doing 15 fine.
15 minutes.
23 to 25, we've got to share screen.
Mm-hmm.
Share screen. Okay. Takata Bible app. 23 to 25.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Also, there were many priests because they were prevented by death from continuing. But he, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them.
Yeah, here we go. That's what I was talking about. You know, we've got Jesus making intercession for us. So why do we need men? You know, and that's a question, not a statement. Okay. I just want to have a look at the, if I click on these words like Abel, it will bring up related verses. So let's have a look at that. Jude 1 verse 24. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling, right? This is your intercessor, Jesus Christ, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. That's powerful. Now, if we go down here and just click on this little word to, since he always lives to make intercession for them, he's talking about us, since he always lives to make intercession for us, for them. Okay. Oh, there's a lot of reference verses here. I'll get Gloria to read them.
Okay. Romans 8:34. Who is he who condemns?
It's the enemy that condemns
that's
us.
Right.
The enemy. But you know what? The enemy was brought to nothing at the cross. The enemy cannot do things to Christians. He doesn't have access because he has been judged. He doesn't appear before God anymore like he was. He doesn't do that anymore because he's been cast out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because of the blood of Jesus. Okay, sorry, Gloria, read it again.
It's good that you clarified that because otherwise people might misinterpret
it.
It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us.
Keep going, the whole lot of
1 Timothy 2:5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus.
That's huge. That is so important.
Mm.
The veil has been torn. We now have access into the Holy of Holies to come before God the Father and Jesus seated at his right hand. You know?
I think in different religions, they might choose a saint to pray to, thinking that that saint is going to intercede on their behalf to God, but it's Jesus who is the one that is interceding.
Well, I got a simple word for that. It's wrong. It's not in accordance with the Bible. So
Hebrews,
if you want to get a handle on that, just replay that little bit, but the point that Gloria just brought out.
Hebrews 9:24, for Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us.
Okay, I'll give you a little taste here. Hebrews 9:24, for Christ has not entered into the holy place made with hands. What is that? That is the temple that the children of Israel built, right? For God has not entered into the holy place made with hands, which is where the priests used to do. They had a ritual, you know, they'd put a rope on them. For Christ has not entered into the holy place made with hands. The Old Testament priests used to enter into that holy place made with hands, which are copies of the true. What is the true? The true is what it says here, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence, listen to this, into the presence of God for us. There is a teaching out there that Jesus went to the mercy seat to sprinkle his blood on the mercy seat. I put it to you that Jesus himself is the mercy seat, and he entered into the presence of God to show God the Father the blood on his body. Jesus himself is that mercy seat. Just a kind of a little bit of a different way of looking at it, because there is a whole teaching in the Word of Faith movement that says that Jesus went into the mercy seat to sprinkle his blood. If I'm incorrect, then show me the verse that backs that teaching up. Okay. Next one, Gloria.
1 John 2:1. My little children, these things I write to you, that so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous.
Amen. Amen. So I've lost my train of thought.
Verses 23 to 25.
And so that's my comment on verses 23 to 25. Cherry, would you like to add to that? And I'll stop the screen share.
Well, I had a question for myself. I was looking at this. I didn't know if we were going to go this far, but I have something I'll share. My question is, and to the people in the third dimension, we've been talking about the high priest. And we made the comment about, you know, intercession and going before the Father, because we can now go before the Father. And how do we know what our high priest is saying when we're making a decision? You know, we have access to the Father. We determine that now through this whole Bible study. He is an intercessor. He's making intercession for us all the time. And how do we make that decision? And that came to me this afternoon. Was that we go when we're spending some time with the Lord, we're trying to make a decision, we go to the Lord in prayer, and then we get in the Word. Okay, He's our high priest. He knows us very, very well. He made us, and he knows everything about us, what we're good at, what our gifts are, our talents, what direction we're in. He is the one that is our leadership. And then we get in the Word. Our high priest wants us to get in the Word and find out what the Word says, find out, you know, direction. Just sometimes just spending time in the Word will give you totally different. It's almost like it will help you. If you spend enough time in it, it'll settle things in your spirit. And another scripture, which I love, is Colossians 3:15. And it says in 3:15, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were called in one body, and be thankful, and let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom and teaching, and admonishing one another in psalms. But I love the first part of that scripture. That was Colossians 3, 15. And that's the way our high priest leads us, is really, he leads us in peace. He leads us in peace. And we can be assured that if we have peace about something and it's lining up with the scripture, then, you know, our high priest is giving us direction. Yes. Holy Spirit is giving us direction.
That's a really good point, Cherry. Thank you for bringing that out. That is, you know, that peace in your heart, you know, that whatever circumstance you might be in, if you've got peace, even though it might look impossible, you're in God's will.
Yeah, thanks, Cherry. I was looking up scriptures because you posed questions for me too. Cherry started out with those comments saying, how do you know, how do you get an answer from the Holy Spirit on these things? And she pointed to the Word. Okay, there are three things. The Word, the Spirit, and prayer.
That's right.
Right? The Word, because even though we are a Word-based teaching, we are Spirit-filled believers, and we hear the promise of the Holy Spirit that was given to us is that He would reveal. The Holy Spirit, who resides inside us, our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So we bow our head in prayer to look down at the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. That's a bit of a joke. But we bow our head in prayer in reality to reverence and honor our God. But the Holy Spirit is in our belly. You know, the Holy Spirit is in our body. He is not in our spirit. He is in our body. Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. If you've never heard that before, then go to your Bible, do a bit of a study, and you will find that that is in the Bible. The Holy Spirit, your body is the temple. Do you not know? Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Wow. So the Holy Spirit will reveal things to come. He'll bring the word to your remembrance. And most important of all, is that, are you a child of the living God? And I can hear people saying, yes, I am. Well, how do you know that you are? This is a bit taking it a step further on what Cherry said. How do you know that you are born again? How do you know? How do you know? Do you know with absolute certainty that if you were to die tonight that you'd go to heaven? Well, how do you know? How do you know? Well, I just know. Well, how? Back it up with a verse in the Bible. Well, I can. I'm going to give you this verse. And if this doesn't register with you, then you need to get born again. Jesus said in John chapter 3, do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. He didn't say that you needed to go to this church, that church, that church, or even to watch GFCD on your computer or your smartphone. He said you must be born again. All right? So how do you know that you are born again? How do you know that you've got your ticket to heaven? How do you know with absolute certainty? Not because the pastor said, oh, you're born again, or Gary Preston said, oh, you're born again. That counts for squat diddle. What does the word of God say? Well, let me take you to Romans chapter 8, verse 16, and it says, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. If you haven't got that witness in your spirit that you are a child of God, then I put it to you, you need to get born again. You know, it's not a matter of I said the prayer. Who gives a rip whether you said the prayer? I said the prayer three times before I got that revelation that I had my ticket to heaven. And that once I got that revelation that I was a child of the living God, it turned my life around 180 degrees. I'll give you that verse reference again. It is Romans 8, verse 16. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. That is how you know whether you're born again. It's not because somebody told you you're born again. It's not because you've said the prayer. And I want to offer people the opportunity right now to say the prayer. I call it the beginner's prayer. Because if you haven't got that witness in your spirit that you are a child of God and you want to be, if you want to receive eternal life, then let's dot the I's and cross the T's and make absolutely certain. Say this prayer with me. God, I've heard about Jesus. I make the decision right now to call Jesus my Lord and my Savior, to invite Jesus into my heart to rule as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, to rule my life. I'll no longer be doing it my way. I'll be doing it your way, God. I thank you, God, that you raised Jesus from the dead. I thank you that I can now call you my Heavenly Father and Jesus my Lord and Savior. I pray this in the name of my Lord and Jesus, my Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer for the first time today, then I'd invite you to send us an email so that we can hook you up with someone in your local area. Our email address is gfcd.sozo@gmail.com. And that way it's confidential rather than putting a comment below this social media post. And we will reply and hook you up with somebody in your local area who can be your mentor.
Yes.
Over to you, awesome. Gloria.
Awesome. Another fantastic Bible study. Thank you so much, Cherry, for joining us. You really have blessed not just us, but you've blessed this ministry, and you've blessed the body of Christ and all of those out there in the third dimension who have been listening.
You engaged my brain, Cherry. You made me think. You know, it's good for Christians to think and study it out to show themselves approved before God.
Yes.
Sorry, Blue.
No. Yeah.
I'm excited.
Yeah. No, very much appreciated having you here with us today. So, Father God, we just thank you for your word that has gone out into the world. We thank you for all the hungry hearts who are so eager to know you in a deeper, more meaningful way, who want to break free of the shackles of the law that has bound them and the thinking of the law that has bound them in past religious experiences. Because you have set us free, Jesus. Because your word is life to us. The Holy Spirit in us is our helper and our comfort and our guide in all life circumstances. We give you glory and honor, Father God, and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, for this day and for this word that has gone out, for the word that has gone out today, and it doesn't return void. And we just bless you, and we bless all of those who have been watching and listening in the third dimension, and we bless you, Cherry, also in the name of Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Father God. Thank you for this day. Praise your holy name. Amen.
And just one closing point. The purpose of this Bible study is to teach how to rightly divide the word of truth. And what we're dealing with right now in this series is how to identify the law of Moses from the grace of Jesus Christ. Just because it's written in the New Testament does not mean that it's grace of Jesus Christ. It doesn't. Even when you're reading the Gospels, Jesus was fulfilling the law, and it's recorded in the Gospels. The Gospels are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, right? It's recorded word for word what Jesus said. Many times he was asked questions, and while he was fulfilling the law, he had to answer as one under the law. At the same time, he was ushering in grace. So if you'll stick with us, subscribe to our YouTube channel or follow us on Facebook and be here next week, then you will learn how to rightly divide the word of truth for yourself. And that at the end of this series, as long as it takes, you will be able to identify the law of Moses from the grace of Jesus Christ. And I think this is the major issue in Christianity today, that people cannot identify law from grace. They end up sitting under law-based messages, and they think that they're applicable to them, which they are not. If you were not born a Jew, then the law of Moses was not written to you. Amen. God bless. The Thank best you, is everybody. Yet to come. We'll see you this time Bye. Next week. Bye,
Bless
everybody.
Bye-bye.
Love you, Cherry. Bye.
Love you.